Welcome back to Married with Children, the podcast. And in studio with me today, I've got my beautiful wife, Callie, and Matt Nicholson, who is a candidate for Seymour Mayor, a current city council member. And we're going to come back and kind of talk to him about his past and what has brought him to this point in his life and his story of public service. And we're excited with that. And Callie, we've had a good weekend, a long weekend.
Yeah.
Camped at the racetrack all weekend. Yeah. And had some fun. And Alan, I think, definitely had some fun.
Yeah.
And got to watch some good races last night. So excited about that. And
we got to start school this week.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
Back to the real world.
So, yeah. Sundays officially mean something way different than they did last week.
So let's play our sponsors and come back and talk to Matt. We've all heard horror stories about insurance companies and insurance agents. Let me tell you about my family's agent, Tommy Taylor. Tommy is an agent at Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance and is a multi-line agent that can keep all your insurance in one place. Why is a dedicated agent so important? When you have the unexpected occur, you'd much rather know the person on the other end of the phone. Contact info for Tommy: 812-372-4483 at extension 2447, or look him up on Facebook at Tommy Taylor, Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance. Don't be another horror story. Stop knocking on wood and relying on a 1-800 number. Trust Tommy Taylor today. Miller's Termite and Pest Control is the only place you need to look for pest control. Don't get roped into contracts or high prices with the big companies. Reach out to someone who cares about you. They can handle any problem from termites, bed bugs, ants, spiders, etc. They also do lawn care. Where else can you keep the bugs out of your house and your yard looking sharp? Reach out to them today on Facebook at Miller's Termite and Pest Control, email at pest_n_peace@yahoo.com, or by phone at 812-767-5657. Looking for a new tattoo? Looking for a professional piercer to add to your body art? There's no reason to drive to Indy or Louisville. Just visit Beauty from Ashes Tattoo Parlor in Crothersville, Indiana. Beauty from Ashes is located just past the Dollar General on Highway 31. Stop in and check out the amazing work done by all four artists at the shop. Each artist has a unique and personal style, but all do amazing work. The shop is family friendly, so don't hesitate to bring your kids or loved ones with you when you stop by to get some ink. Check out all the artists' work on their Facebook page and book an appointment today with either Kyle, Martha, Billy, or Lily. You won't be disappointed. Beauty from Ashes Tattoo Parlor, Crothersville, Indiana. And we are back. And like I said, we have with us Seymour mayoral candidate, Matt Nicholson. So, Matt, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And like I said, excited to kind of hear your background. And I guess we'll start there. So, you know what? Public service is a tough road. It's a pretty thankless job a lot of times. What has made this your path?
So, I was blessed with a boss years ago that as a teenager, he encouraged me to go out and be involved in the community, you know, serve on boards, volunteer for stuff. And it just stuck. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I loved seeing what we could accomplish as a group and make the world better around us, or at least our little piece of it.
And, you know, I love it. Kyle McIntosh down here in town, which I know you know well, and he always posts, you know, don't complain, make a change.
Yeah.
And it's so true. And even though, you know, I led into this with the idea that it is difficult work to be a public servant, but you're exactly right. If no one else is going to come in from the outside to fix Crothersville or Seymour or wherever we're talking about, it has to be us from the inside.
Oh, amen. And I'm sitting here looking around for, you know, listeners that don't know, I see a Blackhawks banner on the wall, which, you know, I'm a Blackhawks fan, so that works, but not so much the Bears. But, I mean, nobody's going to drive down from Chicago.
No.
And fix Seymour or fix Crothersville,
right,
or Jennings County.
Well,
right. We've got to do it.
And I think sometimes some people, they focus too much like on the national part. I mean, like, and, you know, it's like, well, it kind of starts local. I mean, we can, you know, we may not be able, I mean, we can have our say on certain things nationally, but we can really have a big say on stuff locally within our town or county, you know, that, and even, I mean, even statewide. But I mean, I think sometimes we focus too much on the bigger picture, at least I think, to where we can change a lot locally if we, instead of just complaining, like you said, and, kind of volunteer and do that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a million chances locally, and it's our day-to-day lives here.
Yeah.
You know, the decision that a mayor makes is going to affect you tomorrow or, you know, 3 or 4 days from now. You know, the decision the president makes is going to take 6 months just to even get to Congress, and then it's going to be another 3 years to be enacted. So,
yeah, that's what I always say. You know, and this isn't downplaying what the federal government does, but whoever's in office and the president really doesn't affect my day-to-day life, you know, and people can argue with me on that. And yes, it may affect my insurance a little bit or my tax code or whatever, those things. But as far as my day-to-day life and enjoyment, doesn't affect it. But again, those local city council members, the people making decisions in your town for change, that affects your day-to-day life.
Oh, that definitely does. And they're the easiest ones to get a hold of. I mean, the line is always open to reach out to me and talk. Tell me what's going on in your neighborhood and what we need to fix and how we can do it better.
Well, and because you live here, too. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's not like, you know, somebody in D.C. is making this decision for me in Crothersville, Indiana. Like, I mean, they're living here, you know, in your area. So,
yeah, they're close to home.
Yeah.
So obviously you ran for city council, you've been on city council. What was the biggest learning curve of coming on as that, you know, that council member?
Probably the biggest struggle for me coming on as a council member was figuring out how long it takes to do things. You can't, as a business owner, I've wanted to jump in and, you know, hey, let's do this, let's get it done. And you do those things and you change them tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As a council member, you're working on projects that are 2, 3, 4 years out. I mean, right now we've got a project coming up that'll make a huge impact on Seymour. But the shovels won't hit the ground until 2024.
Right.
So there's, you know, we've got to make these decisions. We've got to make the design choices now. But in all reality, none of us could be in office by 2024.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's such a great point, too, because when you look at politics, so many people say, you know, whoever's in office, well, look at what they did. Well, sometimes you don't even know what they're doing.
Right.
Until
because,
3 to 4 years
you may not be in office. I mean, and it happened. Yeah. You're the ones that this group made the decision, not the group, you know, in.
And that can play both ways. That can be bad for the next guy in office. It can be really good for the next guy in office.
And that's the thing, coming off Craig Ludeman in 12 years. I mean, you know, not that I agree with everything Craig's done, because we're human. We don't always agree. But in the course of it, you do see the things that he's accomplished. Mm-hmm. And he's leaving us in a better place than where he started.
Right.
You can definitely see he had a vision for what he wanted to do.
Yes.
And again, agree, disagree on certain points, but he had a vision. It wasn't a scrambled idea of what was coming. He wanted to improve.
Yeah, definitely.
So, and then what's one of the things you're most proud of that you guys have worked on with the city council?
So probably my biggest thing that I'm that I would say is my pride and joy is getting to make the motion to accept a donation of the baby box that's at Station 3. The baby box at Station 3 was rejected by another city. The young man, Hunter Ward, I believe was his name, came to us and he gave the same sales pitch. And we listened to what he had to say. Our local Knights of Columbus stepped in and said, we will pay the monthly fee as long as it is in place.
Mm-hmm.
So as a city, it was, you know, I want to say a no-brainer because we didn't have any investment in it.
Yeah.
We didn't have to come up with the $10,000 up front. And we ended up with a great asset to our community that the organization with their 800 number feels like is going to turn out to be one of their busier boxes because we're the farthest one south.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Also right off of I-65. So as time goes by, you know, I hope...
I hope it's never used,
but I am so glad that I was the one that got to make the motion to say, hey, let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's take it.
And, you know, and I understand exactly where you're coming from. When North Vernon first put theirs in, and, you know, I said that to people. I said, I hope it's never used. And people would look at me almost cross-eyed, like, but I don't. I hope it's never used. But I am so, so glad it is there.
As an option, yes.
Exactly.
Just like the airbags in my truck. I hope I never use my airbags, but I'm really glad they're there if I need them.
Yep, exactly.
So,
And it's that, you know, talking about that system, it's such an amazing system, you know, to protect the parent or, you know, the guardian that may have to give up a child to make sure that the, you know, we've had these laws where you can drop it off at a fire station, police station without questions asked. But this, I think, you know, keeps them anonymous.
It really does.
Make sure the proper care gets to that baby from, you know, the individuals that need to. And I agree. I think we're going to see it used more and more and more.
And I think it's sad, but I think you're right. We're going to see it used. And the other side that I didn't even think about going into it was the training that our firemen have now received.
Okay.
That way, if somebody does walk into one of the other two stations in Seymour, you know, they've all been trained now to understand, okay, this is exactly what needs to happen.
Yeah.
Versus the law that was thrown out there and not a lot of detail, some gray area.
Yeah, yeah. It was just... I agree with that, because people always say, well, we have this law, but, and not picking on lawmakers, but every lawmaker, it is difficult to read the law and understand exactly what I'm supposed to pull out of it. So,
amen.
But yeah. And I, you know, and again, it's one of those things where if it saves one life, one child's life, it's worth every penny that it goes into.
Yes. Yes, it really is.
So, and then what are some of those challenges that you guys have had on city council that, you know, maybe you wish you could have gotten something else done, or, you know, didn't happen, those kind of things?
So one of the struggles sometimes is getting something done that somebody doesn't necessarily like, or not getting something done. You know, we built a nice new park, great facility. Mm-hmm. The location is questionable. That's been the biggest part of the debate.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, though, it's done.
Yeah.
Let's use it to the fullest of our advantage. Let's figure out how to keep it busy, keep it active. You know, we're not going to tear it back down, so use it.
And you can't move it.
Yeah. It's not going anywhere else. So, but with that, though, I mean, we've got an overpass project that's coming, but it's been 20 years in the making.
Yeah.
So we will get there on that one, and honestly, it breaks ground at the end of this year, first part of next year. So we're really close on it. But it's just one of those pieces that I wish it had been able to be done 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
because then people would start to get used to it already instead of the learning curve that we're going to have over the 2 years after it's built.
Yeah.
You probably drive through a roundabout every day on the way to work.
Oh, yeah.
This project will include two by the time it's all said and done.
Okay.
So.
And, you know, that's a funny topic when you talk about some people don't like certain things, people are so emotional with some of those things. And I don't mean that in a bad way. They're very, very passionate about what it is, but their emotions get involved so much that mm-hmm. they can't even separate that to do it. You know, I remember the first time, because I always thought prior to the DOT coming down and doing the study and presenting the information there at North Vernon, I always thought this is just such a silly thing. And when they explained it of, you know, yes, the data says you'll have more accidents in a roundabout than what you will at a stoplight.
Yeah.
But they're at lower speeds. They're at non-fatal angles. And, you know, we're going to save lives with this. The light clicked on for me and it was perfect.
It makes sense. I mean, like, because, and I think that's something that, I mean, obviously, like, you know, when we heard, we're like, oh, okay. I mean, like you said, the light clicked. I mean, because then you understand. No, because it may cause more wrecks, but obviously
they're fender benders. They're not fender benders.
It will save lives.
They're not fatalities.
Yes.
And that's, you know, that's another one of those. It's just funny that, because, man, when you say roundabout around here,
they get upset.
I get through those roundabouts. Well, that roundabout easier and faster now than when it was a stop sign.
Yes.
Which, number one, it was incredibly dangerous.
Yes.
But I get through that faster and easier now than ever before. And better than what it would be if it was a stoplight.
Exactly.
And the flow of traffic continues.
It does.
I'm totally sold.
On this side of North Vernon, it is, I mean, I think that is a perfect place for that because of how busy it is. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the direction a lot of cars are going. Yeah, I mean, the times that we've gone through, I think it's
been good. When that one was coming up, there was a piece from the DOT in Washington State. And that was the piece for me that sold me on it, was when they talked about there will be just as many accidents, but there'll be non-fatal accidents.
Right.
That whole article, and I've shared it probably 10,000 times at this point.
And it makes so much sense you actually see that.
Yeah.
I mean,
you look at it with an open mind.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's the other part. You know, some people are, now I will say this, some of the stuff up in Carmel and north of Indiana
that's what I was going to say.
The interlocky, I don't even know what all goes on up there.
I'm okay if it's the one lane, the two, or you get three lanes going around there. I'm like, okay, which lane do I need to be in to go, you know, like whichever. So those get confusing just because I'm not obviously used to it. And
I'm sure there's good data for why that works too, but I haven't found it yet.
Well, where is it? Like, I mean, is it Carmel, or, I mean, it's around in like the, you know, northern Indy or whatever, that, I mean, like that's all they have. have.
Oh yeah, yeah, Carmel's went crazy.
Is that what I mean? Because we've gone through different stoplights. Yeah, it is like literally a million roundabouts everywhere.
Well, and then the other side of it too. The same article, a roundabout saves you money in the long run, and that's one of those pieces that people don't want to think about.
Versus a stoplight.
A stoplight, you've got annual repairs on it, and you're going to continue to spend money on it. You know, a roundabout is going to cost you a little more
up front.
It's
just there.
But over a couple of years, you're going to start saving.
And like every time the power goes out, you've got to take away from your law enforcement force to be out there
and
to manage traffic.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are all the things that you don't think about either until you've done that job. And, so also talking about the park, and I think you just had a great perception on that park. It is beautiful.
Yeah.
It turned out great.
Yeah, I think so.
And yes, we can all sit here all day, but, you know, and that's another one where instead of complaining, you know, like as Kyle would say, make a change, don't complain. Great opportunity to go use it. It's there.
Yeah.
And again,
well, I mean,
we can all sit all day long and complain, or we could go use what we've been provided and make it the best that it can be.
Yeah, definitely. And that's one of the pieces for me. And Kyle's a great example of that because, you know, stop complaining, go make a change in it.
Yeah.
I've got something that I want to introduce down the road that will create more events at the park. It'll be, you know, minimal investment from the city, and really it's no investment from the city. It just depends on how you look at it. But it'll end up having that park used more and more and more by different groups.
Right,
right now we're seeing Main Street use it
six,
7 times a year. We've got a church group that's used it once or twice. I mean, so it's getting some use. But even this year, it's probably less than 20 events total. One of the things I want to introduce, you know, come January is a way to build upon what we've already got and get people in that park using, having concerts, you know, using it for a church service, whatever their thing that they're doing there is, because we're really not picky about who's using it. As long as somebody is in there using it, you know, we've got a great fitness court right there.
Right.
You know, again, one of those pieces that maybe wouldn't have been my choice of how to spend that money. But it's getting used. People are enjoying it. I'm starting to see more pictures pop up on social media of people out using it.
Yeah.
So it's a, you know, let's use what we've got.
And I think that's such an important piece for a politician. And again, not talking the national scene because I think half of them's lost their mind. But but as a politician, even when the decision doesn't go the way you maybe see it, what I appreciate is you're already looking at, okay, this is where we're at. We can all agree now we've got it.
Yeah.
How do we maximize the use of it? Instead of
bashing it,
crossing your arms and sitting there and saying, I won't ever attend anything at that park, because, you know, that's where you continue to move forward, you know, your community.
Yeah.
And I think it's huge. And, you know, and I also think, like you just said, the big thing that people, you always hear in these small towns is there's nothing to do around here.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do. There's nothing to do. Get out and go to this stuff. You know,
Enjoy it.
We talked about your city council mate, Sean Malone. Harmony Park, what an unbelievable place right there, what he's done with,
I was just there last night.
And
terrific
location to be able to hang out and see things and live music here in this community. Same thing with the park. You know, get out and see what local people are doing, because there's some amazing stuff.
Oh, there's so much great stuff. We've got, you know, music 2-3 nights a week if you look around, and sometimes 2 or 3 places in one night.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a matter of going and finding what's going on. You know, I know you guys are into dirt track, you know? I mean, it's a 10-minute drive to the dirt track.
Yeah.
Versus driving, you know, 30 minutes one way and watching a movie. I mean, there is lots to do. You just have to connect.
There's a ton of local shops that are, I mean, are popping up downtown and I think that it's doing awesome. Like it, you can really tell in the last few years, you know, the growth. And I mean, even like you said, the park, I mean, Main Street's really trying to do a whole lot, you know, with their shops and stuff there, with having different events. I mean, I think it's awesome.
Oh yeah. And I'll give props to Becky Shepman on that. She is doing a great job with Main Street. She is, you know, stores are coming downtown. I was talking to a new building owner the other day, and I won't throw his name out there because I don't know that it's really been announced, but he's bought a building, and his current plan will change the face of downtown a little bit.
Awesome.
We will have some stuff that suddenly, instead of coming down and going to one shop, you're parking and you're walking downtown.
Yeah, and you can stop and get something to eat, or, you know, I mean, like, I mean, you've just got, you know, in that area there, and like you said, you can park and you can walk and hit multiple stores.
Yeah, it'll be I think he's got bigger plans than just the one piece he's working on now. I think his vision is 2, 3, 4 5 years down the road,
okay,
he'll have multiple buildings, multiple businesses that are up and running.
Awesome.
Things that I think Seymour people are going to want to see.
Good.
But that's the cool part about being on city council, is you get in those conversations yeah. with mm-hmm. people, and you get connected with what's going on. The hard part sometimes is that you can't talk.
Yeah, keeping it quiet.
About
yeah. It's secret. Yeah.
You want to let yeah. them have the moment of going, hey, I'm the one doing
exactly.
this. But I am so excited to see this gentleman step into our community.
Right. Well, and you know, another thing, again, people say all the time is small town downtowns are dying. And again, Seymour's a great example where yeah. it's not. And that's what I encourage people. You know, yes, is it convenient that we have Walmart and the big JC store and all of those things that are there? Yes. But instead of going and buying three shirts for $5 at Walmart, go to one of these boutiques.
Yeah.
Stop
yeah.
in downtown and eat downtown somewhere.
Yes.
You know, we try as much as possible, and that's not like me putting us on a pedestal. We still shop at Walmart like
oh,
everyone.
Yeah, we do
yeah.
too. So
yeah.
That's,
yeah. yeah.
But we love being able to go down to, you know, Bullwinkle's or mm-hmm. Larison's
yes.
and,
yeah.
you know, the record shop down there is like my favorite place.
Yeah. Even
Walmart sells them now. Amazon sells them. It is easier to do that. I will agree. But for me, being able to walk in there and keep that place open and be downtown is really cool. So,
yeah.
you know, if you want that downtown experience, you got to support it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, go do it.
When you go look at the pictures of, like, even here in Crothersville, the downtown 60, 70 years ago, and people say, oh, I wish that was still like that. Well, you got to go shop at these places
yeah.
to keep them here.
Yeah, you've got to support local if you're going to do it.
Absolutely, yeah.
And being in small business for 16 years, you know, I fully get the support local thing.
Yes.
I've always joked it's the next bigger town. Crothersville shops with me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Seymour folks going up to Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's
a great point.
You're
whatever
right.
the next bigger town is, that's where it
it's
seems
always,
like that city goes.
It's always better to, I mean, people sometimes think that it's better if I go to Seymour, if I go to Columbus.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right.
Yeah, and it's a crazy way that it works, but, you know, I've been able to keep it going for 16 years, so.
Yeah.
And, you know, I saw a meme on Facebook the other day, and it was so true, and it said, just remember, Amazon won't sponsor your son's Little League team.
Yeah.
And there was so much truth to that.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
you know, in the roles that we do in education, and, you know, and you're trying to get out and you're trying to get sponsors for things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazon is not sending me any
yeah.
money. I've got to rely on my community people. And
yeah.
I think sometimes we have to remember, even with the ease and accessibility that and price that some other places can give us,
right.
We've got to support our community members so that when we lean on them, they can help support us as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So as you look ahead to running for mayor, and you've already ran a campaign for city council, before we even get into like platform and what you're looking at, just the campaign piece, how much work is it just to get ready to campaign?
So I joked recently that it's pretty much a full-time job. You know, I do my normal job to mm-hmm. make a living still, but then I also spend a lot of time campaigning. It may be as simple as, you know, you're at an event or you're, you know, putting stuff out on social media. But then there's those days. I mean, I had a day a couple weeks ago where it was four events in a day.
Yeah.
Started at 6 a.m. and didn't get done till 8 o'clock at night. And it just, some days it can be exhausting. Other days, I mean, yesterday I, you know, attended two surprise birthday parties. So you can have great days in there too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you'll have days that you don't have anything.
Yeah.
But you do have a lot of mental extra stress, let's call it, going into
right.
campaign season.
And that's another one, comparing local guys to the national guys. I know when they always talk about these presidential elections, and don't get me wrong, they're busy. And they're like, oh my gosh, look at the stress they have. They get whisked away from an event, put in a private plane or a private coach.
Somebody's planning it all for them.
They're yeah. not driving it.
Yeah.
They're relaxing, eating the best food, and going to the next event. You're driving yourself back and forth
oh,
everywhere.
Yeah. No, I just pulled up in a Jeep with no doors and sides on it because, you know, that's what I like to drive.
Right.
You know, I'm running around. I'm still being me.
I yeah. mean,
that's
yeah.
the, you know, my wife gets mad at me because I like to use the phrase that I'm still just Matt. Well, I always will be.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to do the same things I enjoy doing. I've just learned a lot of political stuff, a lot of how to run a city over the last 4 years. And, you know, that's what I want to focus on.
So let's get into just a little bit of that, you know, that platform and what you want to see. So obviously, like you said, coming off Craig Ludeman here for the last 12 years and an opportunity to kind of, you know, I'm not going to say take the city in a different direction, but to accelerate what he's built on, I think would be a good way to put it.
So this was the only question that I've even remotely thought about since we talked originally about coming down here. So the generic answer, public safety, infrastructure, and conservative values. Great, simple, but let's be realistic. That doesn't answer a question at all.
No.
So public
that's your political answer.
That's the political answer.
Right,
there you
go.
So, but if you break it down, though, public safety, obviously you've got police, fire, you know, ambulance services, things like mm-hmm. that. Some of that is controlled by the county. For us, police and fire is the huge piece of public safety. We've got to make sure our officers have what they need to do their job, you know, whether it means two new cars next year or, you know, four the year after that. We got to make sure that we keep the funding where it needs to be.
Or the training that they need as the
yeah.
as the streets
that,
change.
Yeah,
and
that
develop.
Can be the other side of it, too. Mm-hmm. And that's the – so we've got to take care of our officers. Fire department, every 5 years we are reviewed. It's Insurance Service Office's ISO report. And what they do is they rate our fire department. Seymour's fire department is a rating of 3, which is actually one of the best in the country.
Wow.
Very few cities reach a level 3, and that
really?
Saves citizens money on their insurance.
Most
people
awesome.
Will never know anything about that. It's
yeah.
one of those pieces that, you know, you don't ever hear about.
Yeah.
If they drop below that 3, though, if they get down to a 4 or 5, it can change our insurance rates as citizens. So we've got to focus on maintaining what they need. They're going to need a new ladder truck in the near future, within the next year or two. Realistically, they're going to need a new station house. We have had a ton of retirees. They've been doing a great job of replacing those guys, but you know, we've got to maintain that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So public safety comes down to making sure those guys have what they need to do the job to the best of their ability.
Right.
Infrastructure. I truly believe that we can, without going out and adding a bunch of debt, that we can knock off $60 million in road repairs, road work in the next 4 years. It's kind of a huge number. Seems, you know, gigantic to me at times, but I think it's doable with the grants that the city or the state offers. We can apply for those twice a year. Some years we'll get one, some years we'll get none, but you know, let's stay at it.
Yeah.
Let's maintain what we're doing.
Force them to say no.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't ask, you never 100%, find out.
Yeah.
So we can truly bring our roads up. But when you talk infrastructure in general, you're going to talk sewers. You know, we've got 150 miles of storm and sanitary sewer line in the city of Seymour. We've got a brand new interceptor that should come online very soon. I mean, there's a lot of pieces. Now, that new interceptor, though, it's going to give us room for growth. Where we were kind of bogged down and there wasn't anywhere else for the toilet flush to go, we're catching up now. This will add room for us to expand as a city. It also goes hand in hand with the new road project that's part of the bypass and the overpass. So that'll be a good piece. And then, you know, obviously conservative values is pretty simple. I believe in incremental development. Instead of coming out and going, hey, let's build a $3 million this, let's come out and let's do this piece, which may be $1 million, $1.5 million, and maybe it is a $3 million project, but let's do the next one over here, and let's take the city as a whole and work our way up. Sorry, I'm talking with my hands. It doesn't help
no,
by much.
You're good. You're good.
So, you know, let's keep adding, you know, think about it like a Lego castle. You know, keep adding a layer until the whole city rises. You know, as principal, I would assume that you look at every kid and you go, this kid can grow up and do whatever this kid wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, realistically, we know sometimes it's not going to happen for every one of them. But if we can try to at least set everybody up to succeed, we're in a much better place than what we could be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, that's probably the best answer I've ever heard someone give. And I mean that wholeheartedly. I mean, especially like on the conservative values thing, because when you started the platform and you gave us the political answer, that's always what bugs me about some of those, you know, campaign ads. Conservative
yeah.
values. That's great as
right.
a slogan, but what does conservative values mean to you?
Right.
Because that
yeah.
can be totally different.
Yeah.
That's and so I appreciate that, and I love that idea of, you know, incremental growth. And
yeah.
you know, let's not and that forward thinking and planning ahead, which I think
yes.
is great as well, to where, hey, let's put $1 million into this, but let's build it with it in mind that maybe we expand it
yeah.
2 or 3 years down the road. But let's also not throw $3 or $4 million into something and then find out, wait, we way oversold ourselves on
yeah.
what would be used here.
Yeah, no, let's not leave it set empty. Let's not do a $4 million project that sets empty for 5 years because we didn't have the capacity to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But if we can spend $2 million on that project, not necessarily run it to full capacity at that point, but get it closer. Then we can expand on it later, possibly. Or, you know, I mean, in that fire truck was a great example because, you know, we're looking at $1.5 million to replace a fire truck. Can we do it this year? No, it's not in the budget. Can we make sure it's in the budget next year or the year after? We've just got to plan ahead and be ready for those.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another one. And I know you said the $60 million on the road projects. And I know when you're sitting at home, and I get it as a citizen, and we're all looking at our own check stubs and we're looking at our bank accounts and what we pay, those numbers are astronomical, but it's what it takes.
Yeah.
Just like that. Mm-hmm. The technology that's in those ladder trucks now and what it costs to produce those, $1.5 million is what it is. And I know, you know, sometimes when we do building projects at the schools and things, and people are frustrated, and we're like, it is what it is. I mean, I hate to just say it like that, but that's what it costs. We didn't get – nobody's coming in and you know, gouging us on the price.
Yeah.
That's what everybody – it's what it is today.
You're probably going out for multiple bids when you do stuff
absolutely.
Like that.
Absolutely.
I mean, right. You have to, depending on what the project is. And it's just – it's what it comes in. A lot of times we'll choose the lowest one or the second lowest, depending on – you know, sometimes you'll look at the history of those that are building.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just part of the process. And that is a frustrating part as a council member is when somebody looks at you and says, I don't think you did your homework on this. No, I've probably been doing homework on it for 2 years before we finally had a public vote.
Well, and, you know, the thing I think, too, is – I mean, like, especially when you're talking about, like, the public safety, you know, the fire truck and the ambulance. I mean, like, all of the technology and stuff that goes into that. I mean, obviously, you've got to kind of keep up with the times. I mean, like, if my house was burning down, I would want, the best fire truck we could afford.
Yeah.
You know, that the city could afford. I mean, and I think, and same thing with an ambulance, you know, all the stuff that goes, I mean, it's like, I think until you're almost in that situation, you know, you think, oh my gosh, why would they spend that amount? But if they're pulling down my lane, you know, and put, I'm going to be like, I'm glad that they did.
Yeah, no.
I think that that's something to think about too.
Yeah. No, and that's when they're pulling into your lane and trying to save what they can of your property.
Right.
You definitely want the biggest, not bang for your buck, but it is. It's bang for your buck.
Obviously, I don't want to, you know, spend so much to put us like in wait, you know, but like I said, whatever we could afford, you know, as a city or as, you know, that community. I mean, I think that that's.
Well, you know, for us, we don't need a ladder truck that can reach a 10-story building. I don't even know if they make such a thing.
Right.
But we do have a 5-story building in town.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We've got to make sure we can serve that building as well as the others.
And, you know, another thing that I thought was great when you talked about the fire truck, which is. Sometimes I think I sometimes think as public servants, and this is even in us in education, I think we make a mistake of trying to simplify what we're telling people. And when we simplify it, they put on the blinders and we miss. Because when you brought up the ISO insurance survey, you know, to rate the fire departments, well, that's a no-brainer to me then. I don't want you to go buy a cheap one.
Right.
$500,000 fire truck, which in the end. Yeah, you're not spending the extra $1 million of the city's money, which I understand comes in from from the taxes of the citizens. But I also don't want my house insurance bill to go up because that's directly coming out of my pocket.
Absolutely. That hits you right at home.
That's a great example of how some of this stuff does affect day-to-day at home.
Yeah.
And like you said, how much planning goes into it. You're not coming in and saying, you know what, I think we need a fire truck today. And so, you know what I mean? Like you said, I mean, it's years in advance and we try and budget for it. And mm-hmm. we know that it's coming and we need one and, you know, those kind of situations. And so, again, you're budgeting and planning at least a year or two or more.
Or more,
ahead of time. I mean, depending on the project or whatever it is, obviously.
Well, and I'm going to use trash trucks as my example on that one. When we bought trash trucks several years ago, 10 years ago almost, they told us 10 years. And now we've got two trash trucks that really need to move on and we need to replace them, mm-hmm. which we finally get to thanks to some support from a VW settlement, I think is what it would actually be called. But VW got hit for something and part of their settlement was they would help pay for vehicles. So as a city, we can apply for this, and that's going to help us pay for at least one, if not both of the fire or the trash trucks that are coming out.
Right.
And on things like that, too, people say, you know, they'll see that trash truck going down the street and go, there's nothing wrong with that. What they don't see is when it's not on the road and the cost to maintain it and the cost that gets sunk back into it. At some point, it's the law of diminishing returns.
Oh, yeah.
You're sinking so much in it, we need to go and get something new.
Well, and let's just take the side of it out on what we're spending on the truck repairs themselves. Let's talk about the human piece of that. Because if every time that truck is down, suddenly there's three guys out there trying to take care of that truck's route.
Oh, yeah.
During Make Seymour Shine this year, I went out and rode on the back of a trash truck. It is not an easy job.
No.
It is a very sobering moment when the guys look at you on the drive out to the first stop and say, you will throw up today.
Really?
You don't even think about that in the course of, you know, hey, I'll come do this. And suddenly you're going, oh, great, here we go.
What did I get myself into?
Exactly. I got lucky and we were doing yard waste type stuff, not normal like trash. So, you know, I made it through, knock on wood, without throwing up.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sure if they ever get another chance, I'll end up throwing up because I say that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was one of those pieces, though, and, you know, Dustin, you can laugh at this one because I will. That was one of the funnest things, though, to do. I've been out with so many different crews riding on the back of that trash truck.
Yeah.
It's like a childhood dream.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you see those guys go by and you go, man, that looks so much fun.
They're just riding on the back.
And it is for about 5 minutes.
Yeah. Until you got to jump off and throw it in.
Exactly. Jump off and you're grabbing stuff and there's a picture floating around of me throwing a toilet in the back of a trash truck. You
oh,
know?
Gosh.
I mean, it's just, but that's, to me, that's how you also learn. You go out, you meet with people, you talk to the boots on the ground.
Yeah.
You learn from them.
You know, and that's something, when I took over as principal last year, you know, in the first semester, I picked two different students, one who was a, you know, in most of our AP, ACP classes, and I shadowed them. They met me in the office at about 7:50 that morning, and I followed them to every class. I did the homework that they had when they were in class, took the test they took, ate lunch in the cafeteria with them, told all my staff, do not call me by Mr. Roller, call me Dustin the whole day. And told my admin team, I'm off the clock. I mean, unless there is a major catastrophe, don't call me. Then the second 9 weeks, I went with a student who goes to our career center, and I rode the bus to the career center. Yeah. And the kids were like, why are you not just driving yourself? And I'm like, because that's not what you guys get to do.
Yeah.
If you guys got to drive every day, I would, but we don't let you. So I'm going to experience it the way you guys do, and got to go over and do that with them. And you're exactly right. It is I don't know that we can always understand it. And I've told my teachers this, and I've encouraged them this year. I've told them, I'll pay for a sub if you want to go shadow a kid.
Yeah.
I was never as exhausted as those days that I did that. And people say, why? You're busy all day. And I said, you're right, but I control my day. Even when I'm busy, when it's crazy, I can pull away for 5 minutes and walk around the building and come back in and kind of reset myself. I can go get a drink. I can go use the restroom. I said, everything was so controlled, and it was so here, now this. I said, when I got home, my head was still spinning because I had no control over my day. And I said, I never thought about what that did to kids until I went back in and did it again.
Because it's been a long time since we've been in those shoes.
Absolutely. So I think it's awesome that you're willing to do that.
Yeah.
And it is I can imagine, but it is a crazy thought to think, even going to work, and I'm sure those guys build up a tolerance to it in a way.
They do, I'm sure.
But to think, I may puke today at work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't wake up and think that.
No.
I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. I've grown up being a bicycle racer, and, you know, I might have thrown up off the side of a bicycle a time or two in my life and kept going.
Right.
But never thought of it as a day on the job.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, it was
just
different.
Part of the job.
Yeah, it's just part of the job. Okay, this is going to be bad.
I could just imagine. I mean, obviously, like, if it was me and they're like, you're going to throw up tonight, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, because that never even crossed my mind. I mean, like, I would have, you know, like, I see the trash, you know, the guys riding on the trash truck, you know, like, I never think about that. But
you think about Arcan sometimes in the summer.
I know, you're right.
When they sat out here and you open them, you're like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah,
and that's what they're doing all day long.
I know.
All day long.
Yeah.
So, that goes back to that automated trash truck, though. You know, the guy's in the cab. Yes, the air conditioning's running. He's sticking the arm out, throwing the trash in the back. He's done. But that trash truck goes down, which it does a lot now.
Yeah.
Suddenly you've got three guys out there, two of them on the back of that truck that are having to throw those cans into the back
of the
truck.
How does the guy get to be the driver? They like pull straws or something?
I'm hoping seniority at least, but I don't know. And the funny part of it was so I went out with the sewer department about a month before I went out with the trash guys, and when I went out with them, we did a couple of things that caught me completely off guard. We took a beaver dam out. It has to happen, but I never thought of.
Yeah. I wouldn't. If I had a beaver dam, I wouldn't think the sewer department would come and do
it. And it. Well, and this one was on city property. So, I mean, it was. But it still wasn't one of those things I expected to go
do that day.
And then the other thing that they told me, though, which we changed a pump and a lift station. We've got 39, I think it is, lift stations in Seymour. And they change about 300 pumps a year. Wow. This is a half day to a full day job, depending on how well it goes. But we're out there changing this pump. One of the things they told me when we got back to the plant during lunch was, don't step in this. You can only imagine. I managed not to step in it all day, and they warned me, if you step in it, you're probably going to want to throw your boots away because it'll take a long time for the smell to go away.
Oh, gosh.
So I made it the whole day without stepping in it. Jumped in that trash truck and drove to the dump, and I think I stepped in it. And they were right. I pretty much wanted to throw my boots away after it.
Yeah. Gosh.
So, and as you look ahead, I think that's so amazing. And again, I appreciate you, you know, and I'm not knocking any other candidates that do it, you know, whatever your path is, but I appreciate you didn't just come out and say, I'm running for mayor. You know, you've put this time in as city council.
Right.
You've put the time in to work to learn what all these jobs are. And that's vital. I mean, even as a city council member, I think that's vital because you're going to make decisions. And, you know, I laugh sometimes when I see some of these city council meetings or notes. And, you know, we're talking about they're arguing over whether they're going to help the trash crew or the sewer department, you know, with a quarter an hour raise or helping their insurance come down or what they're doing. And they're arguing. And I always think you got to go work a day with them. Maybe that quarter, it'd be a lot easier to vote through. And again, I understand there's still budgets and things behind them.
Right.
But I'm like, if you've never really seen what they do or what they're dealing with,
it changes your perspective.
Absolutely. And, you know, going back to what you said with the police and seeing what they have and what they need and the fire department, that when you experience that firsthand, it's a lot harder to walk in and disagree.
Right.
Or it opens that great conversation with that department saying, okay, I agree we have a problem, but maybe we can do something more efficiently instead of spending this money. But you have that homework and background.
Right. Well, no, and that's exactly it. I think when you both step up to the table and you have firsthand knowledge, and mind you, my firsthand knowledge most of the time is 4 to 8 hours worth of a shift. It's not, you know, I'm not doing it day to day.
Right.
But I've still seen what goes on in their world. I know at the end of the day for the sewer department, there's a good chance if they've got extra time, they're going out and cleaning storm sewer grates. Why? Because it might rain tomorrow.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to quickly go, oh, well, they're just leaning on a broom at the end of the day. No, that's not how it works. I mean, they're still doing something, trying to finish the day.
And in that situation, that's another one, kind of like Callie with that. Everybody drives by and goes, look, they're just out messing around with a broom.
Yep.
Until that storm sewer drain is blocked and your business or your house, the water backs up in it because they didn't have the time to come and sweep that out.
Yeah,
until
they didn't get it done.
Because they can't do the whole city in a day.
No.
You know, like if it's going to storm tomorrow, you know, you got a big rain coming in. They've got to, again, kind of plan for it and I mean, use that time. I'd rather use that time to do that than just sit there twiddling their thumbs.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think that with you going to, you know, shadow and kind of do some of these jobs with them, I think that it makes it easier, I would think, to kind of almost sympathize with them. Like you said, I'm only doing one day's worth or a shift or whatever. But, you know, when they say, you know, all this stuff that they've had to do, you've seen maybe not that exact job, but you're like, well, I can see where they've had to have done that, you know, or that kind of thing. So, I mean, I think that puts it into perspective.
It really does put it into perspective. I mean, you know, my most recent night riding with the police department, it was a rainy night. People really weren't out. They didn't have a lot of calls. But we spent 4 hours checking doors. I mean, you know, you think back to the Barney Fife days of, you know, law enforcement. Somebody walked down the street and pulled on your door. If it was unlocked, you got a phone call. We still have guys that do that in between calls. And it's pretty amazing when you look around and realize that, you know, these guys are doing a job that most people will never realize.
Mm-hmm.
They don't brag about it on social media.
Right.
I mean, it's just one of those pieces where you suddenly go, wow, this is day-to-day for these guys.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you this, too, because this is something we always hear here in small towns. And, you know, people always say, we got to do more for the kids. We got to offer more for the kids. They got to have things to keep the kids out of trouble. As a mayor in Seymour, if you have that opportunity, how do you think you attack that problem to engage the youth more?
I think you start by doing what you just said. You engage them. So there are mayor's youth advisory councils out there. And I'm going to totally forget the name of the town, but one of the towns up north, I was talking to their mayor at an event last year. He's got 8 kids from the local high school that are part of his advisory board. They get together once a month, a lot like a city council meeting, and he goes through what's going on in the city and then asks them for their feedback.
That's
give,
cool.
Give the kids a chance to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I joke that one of the big things for me is that I want to see Seymour be the place that my kids are willing to grow and raise a family.
Right.
Will they? I don't know. But if I try, then maybe that makes it better for everybody else's kids too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it's not just my kids that I'm thinking about in this. It's everybody's.
Yeah.
But when we do this, they've got to have an invested piece of it. You can't just look at a kid and go, hey, you're going to do this and you're going to like it. Because we were all kids once. We know how well that worked.
Yeah.
Get them involved.
And I think that's vital. And I agree 100%. I find it funny sometimes when we as adults say, because we're always 5 years behind what they are, and we say, you know, they need a skate park. And then we go build a skate park. And nothing against skate parks. Some get used a ton.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then we design it. We decide what it's going to look like.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we sit there and we go, why aren't they using this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not what they wanted. They didn't want that. So, yeah. Again, before you go and try to do something, again, talk to them. And I'll be honest, I got the opportunity to do a training at Cummins, Six Sigma training. And it changed my whole perspective of public service, because all they talked about in that training was your customer, your customer, your customer. And I get it. Like when I walked down, like, I get it, Cummins. You need people to buy diesel engines. Like, I get that. Mm-hmm. But by the end of it, it totally changed my perspective of the kids I work with, because I said, these are our customers.
Yeah.
If we're not talking to them and finding out, you mm-hmm. know, what works for them, what doesn't, if we're not hearing that feedback, we're just shooting blind. Yeah. And it's so true there, too. You know, as a city, let's ask, yeah. what would excite you guys? What could we do that would be amazing? And, you know, what we might find out is, it's probably not as big of a thing as what we as adults think it is.
Usually it's not. And that's the cool part, is some of them are going to, you know, stick. You throw it against the wall, see what happens. Some yeah. of them will hang, some of them won't. You know, if you want to use the military phrase, run a flagpole, see who salutes. I mean, it's just a simple get people involved.
Yeah.
And that's been one of the cool things over the course of the last 3 months of campaign. I joked that I was going to take 2 weeks off, which lasted about 2 days. In the course of this, though, I've got more people now reaching out and going, Matt, how do I get connected? My first question is, what's your passion? You know, if you're passionate about kids, if you're passionate about sports, you know, what is it that really that you want to be connected to? Mm-hmm. Because then I can help them connect to the organization
right.
or the board on the city side. You know, there's a lot of areas that the mayor can help people be a part of our community. And the more people that are a part of our community and connected, the better off we are.
I think that's a great point, too. And I know people will probably cringe when I say this, but I think another really valuable thing, you know, if you are passionate about your community and you want to see change, go find out when your local city council meetings are. Go find yeah. out when your county council meetings are, and go attend those.
Yes.
And you know, it's even amazing to me, and I haven't been able to do it as much in the last year, but I've went to some Crothersville town mm-hmm. council meetings yeah. here. And you walk in and you're like, wait a second. So that's what you were thinking here. And if you're not informed on it, there's no way to give that feedback. And you end up, like you said, you know, with a project that's done, and you're like, why did this ever happen? Well, we've been talking about it for 4 years
right.
in council meetings, would have loved feedback or a different viewpoint.
Right.
You know, it's like I always joke with my secretaries at school. I say, I always send them things and say, you got to look at this. I've stared at this for 2 days, and
yeah.
I know there's 1,000 mistakes in here, but I can't see them anymore because I've just glossed over and it yeah. all looks good. But it's that same kind of thing. They need that public. You guys need that public input.
Yeah, you've got to have public input.
Got to be part of the process.
So, and that's one of the things that I was reading a report today. So my youngest daughter had a swim meet. And I'm sure you can relate. You sit and you do these things and you've got a lot of time to kill. So I'm reading this project that's going to happen in Seymour. And as I'm reading through it, one of the pieces that I'm starting to see appear more and more in these projects is community input. Not just the catchphrase version of it.
Right.
But here is our plan for how we get the community to talk about this project, give us their feedback, work from their wants and needs, as well as the city's wants and needs. And that's what we've got to do on any project, is go ahead and take that little extra time, host a couple public meetings, show up to those meetings, people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's not a hard thing to do. Yes, they're not always scheduled at the best times.
And they're not always the most exciting thing. I mean,
no,
I'm
sometimes
not,
they're boring.
Yeah. Right. I'm not. I go to almost every school board meeting we have.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's sometimes I'm sitting there, especially when Thursday night football starts up, that I'm sitting there going, guys, we got to go, man. I want to go and watch the game. But it's also important to be there and be informed.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when you find out about it and you're shocked and you're upset, it's too far gone to pull back the reins.
Mm-hmm.
So be informed, be involved. And also, you know, I'm sure as a council member, and this may be something you don't even want to kind of say, but I'll kind of say it, in the sense that I know you're going to listen to any community member that comes to you.
Amen. Yeah.
But that open dialogue and conversation of feedback is probably going to be a lot more valuable to you from someone who's come to meetings that has heard what you guys have done and has that knowledge. Now, if I just come to you and I'm just mad, you're probably going to do more of trying to inform me and educate me on what the project
right.
is. If you've seen me sitting there at a city council meeting every time, okay, now we're on the same page.
Yeah, we can have a different conversation than what we're going to have if
Absolutely.
You're just coming to me when you're mad. And you're totally correct, because it is you do spend a part of your time trying to educate people on here's what the process was to get to this point.
And it's funny too, and Callie kind of said it earlier, and it's the same way in education and any public service type idea. A lot of times I think people think there was no process, that just everybody walked in one day and we went, yep, we're going to do this. I think this will be good.
Yeah.
And it's a lot like you. I know that. You know, we put in new field turf at Jennings County High School, and it's beautiful, and it's a great addition, multi-use, gonna bring a lot of things. And people were very upset with that at the end. Some were very upset with that. I shouldn't say people. Some were. But what they didn't realize, they're like, you guys just decided this and did it. It was 3 and 4 years before that that we were having conversations, that we were taking bids, that we were looking at. And it's so funny to me now, being on the principal side, we did a remodel of our locker rooms. Just the colors. I mean, I never thought someone was going to come in and say, you need to pick the color of the bathroom partitions. They come in multiple colors?
Yeah.
And then they bring in the book, and there's about a million different shades of bathroom partitions. I'm like, I never thought about that being a thing. But there's a ton
all
of planning
of those
and process
details.
That goes into
mm-hmm.
all these
Well,
kind
I mean,
of
just
things.
Like you talk about, you know, like the park downtown, the new park. We didn't just decide yesterday, let's go ahead and do that. Yeah, I mean, like,
that was a 10-year project.
It was a lot of planning, and I mean, like, just all of it, you know. And even just the initial, is it going to be useful? You've got to get through all that before then you start the actual planning phase and designing phase and bids and then the actual part of, you know, building it. So I mean, like, it takes a lot.
It really does. And you know, I'm going to use the billboards in the park as an example. Everything was done on time for the billboards not to be an issue, and it still took 18 to 24 months to get the billboards finished afterwards for them to be removed. People were mad at us going, why are you suing these guys over billboards? We're not. We didn't sue anybody over the billboards. They filed that we couldn't take them out because right of eminent domain, which was not what was used to have them removed. We didn't renew the contract. But in the course of that, people are mad at us going, you're wasting lawyer fees. No.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, when you come to meetings, when you hear what's going on, most of the time you start to understand
you
why
get those
the
questions.
Decision was
yes.
made
yes.
before you're mad about it. And I'll talk to anybody, and a lot of times I'll tell people, you know, I may not give you the answer you want to hear, but I'll give you an answer to the best of my knowledge.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's all you can ask for, is be upfront and honest. And I always, I tell people that in my job as an administrator all the time. I say, I will tell you two things. I said, I will either tell you I can't talk to you about that, and I said, if that's the case, that's the honest truth. Or if I say I don't know, it truly means I don't know. I said, I don't know when I say that doesn't mean I know all the answers behind the curtain and I'm not going to tell you. If that's the case, I will say, I can't talk to you about that yet. But as soon as I can, I'll fill you in. Or I'll say, I don't know. And people are always like, I really appreciate that. And I'm like, no, when I say I don't know, it means I don't have that answer. Don't read into it any other way.
Yeah.
And if I tell you I don't know, I'm going out looking for answers.
Absolutely.
Because I'm curious at that point because I don't know.
Right.
Well, I'm going to ask you this. We're about 55 minutes in here on the episode, and we've had a lot of fun. So I'm going to leave it with this question. Why should any voter walk in and mark Matt Nicholson's name for Seymour Mayor?
Wow, what a question. So I'm going to probably have to go with, let's keep moving forward. I don't want to see us set on our hands. I was told several years ago by a former mayor, actually. He said, if a city's not moving forward, it's dying. We can't sit and wait. We can't form a committee about it. Yes, we can form a committee, but that committee needs to be working. Mm-hmm. We've got to keep moving, at least in a crawl, towards a better tomorrow. And that's where I'm at. Yeah, I've put the homework in. I've earned the certifications. I've done that piece of it. But I want to see us keep going in a forward direction and progress.
And I think that's a great answer and a great point because, you know, I think when you look at some of these cities that, you know, and not knocking them, I'm talking some of the major ones here in Indiana that, you know, Anderson, Indiana, mm-hmm. you know, had relied so much on that manufacturing piece. And some things happened there that couldn't have, but you get complacent that always going to be this way. Things are going to be good.
Yep.
You know, and I grew up in Mitchell, Indiana, just south of here, you know. Carpenter buses was everything Mitchell was known for, and life was good. And then all of a sudden Carpenter closes up and leaves. And I think everybody was kind of sitting around like, okay, that was never supposed to happen. That wasn't in the plans.
Yeah.
So continually trying to move forward. It doesn't mean that a blow like that's still not going to be a blow. It always is.
It's always going to be an impact, but we can lessen the thud.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge point that you bring up there. And so I also ask you this, the last thing, I know I said the last question earlier, but
so you do a lot of last questions.
Yeah.
I do.
Okay.
If someone wants to get involved in your campaign, wants to help support you, how can they do that?
So Facebook, Matt Nicholson for Mayor, Seymour, Indiana. It is Matt Nicholson for Mayor. Reach out to me there is probably the easiest way. I'll even throw my phone number out there, 812-528-6319. Give me a call. Shoot me a text. I'm more than happy to get anybody involved. We've got a little something for everybody to do. You know, I laughed the other day because I had a campaign donor call me and go, hey, I want to buy T-shirts. Great. We got an idea of exactly about how many he wanted to buy. I threw it out to social media, and within 24 hours, I had 50 shirts.
Wow.
It was pretty impressive to go, okay, you know, I mean, we've just, there's these shiny moments where you look around and go, this feels like I'm on the right path, so.
Awesome.
And we wish you the best of luck.
Yes,
for sure. And we're you know, honored to have you here in studio with us. And I truly mean that. When we started this whole thing, that was kind of the idea that we had, is we wanted to talk to people that were chasing their passions and no matter what their passions were and get to hear them. And for me, being an educator, I always laugh that I love having people come on here that do things that I don't do and I don't know the answers to. Like you just said, when you say, I don't know, I want to go find out. Well, when I don't know, I want to bring somebody in and we get the chance to sit down and talk to them. So it's really exciting for me to see your campaign and where you're headed. And, you know, anytime we could do anything to help support you in that, we'd be happy to.
I appreciate that, guys. Thanks for having me down.
Yes, thank you.
All right. And everybody, we will be back next week with a Shot of Crime podcast out of Indianapolis. They are a true crime podcast that has started about the last 8 months. And they're going to be down here in studio with us talking about the podcasting game and a little true crime stuff, some of the stories they have looked up and researched. So that'll be a Shot of Crime podcast. If you want to go out and download them and favorite them, it is a little bit adult themed. So if you're listening with the kids in the car, there may be some words in there you want to mute. I don't listen to it with the boys in the car with me. Just a fair warning on that one. But it is a heck of a podcast. They do a great job of covering a lot of especially Indiana specific true crimes and unsolved crimes. So it's a pretty cool deal. So join us again next week for that. And everybody have a great week. And remember to subscribe to us, like, rate, review us, follow us on Facebook. We always appreciate the support. Have a great week.